Well, I'm grateful for the privilege of you trusting me to share with you. And I really pray that God will speak to each one of us, our hearts this afternoon. I just want to also thank Brandon and the church for all the spoiling in the house. I'm sort of like a chipmunk that is eating and eating and eating. I'm going to roll out of Rhineland. But I'm very, very grateful. And I'm sort of going through things one thing at a time, which is rather bad. Well, a few months ago, I was praying about what I should share at Rhinelander. And the thought that kept coming to my heart was one of my father's favorite subjects. The fact that we are, each one of us, a letter read by all men, whether we like it or not. Since that time, on the 26th of July, the Lord took my father. And then I changed the title. A letter read and posted, as each one of us will be one day. Let us pray. Oh, Father, I ask that Thou will come and speak to each one of us. And Lord, that we will realize the seriousness that we are continually read by those around us, and the responsibility we have to be lights in this dark world. Help us to hear Thy voice. Speak to us in tenderness. It doesn't matter how small we are or how old we are. Lord, wilt Thou come and be present in this meeting. In Jesus' name, amen. Now letters bring joy and sorrow, delight and disappointment. They have changed the course of lives upon arrival. And some letters, of course, consternation. When opened, a person has collapsed because of the news that is contained in the letter. I'm sure we've all read books about people who had heart attacks when they heard dreaded news that came by letter. But there's also been letters in life that have given the people who opened it up squealed with delight when they've heard unexpected news by letter. It's just a piece of paper, but it has such power to bless or to curse, to delight or to sadden. And it's interesting that God's word speaks of the Christian as an open epistle, letter read of all men. Corinthians 3 verse 2 says these words, "Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men." Paul was speaking of the Corinthians as an epistle written in their heart. They were full of concern and love for the Corinthians. But then those interesting words, "but also known and read of all men." The letter of my father's life reached its destination. As he often spoke of a living letter to us, so his life was a living letter, and it was not only living, but it was posted. It went on a journey, and it reached its final destination. And his letter impacted many lives. What should be the characteristics in the letter of our life? What can we learn about what should be on the letter and in the letter? Ye are a living letter. We cannot escape the fact that we are living epistles, letters. In the Corinthian case, the letters were a living proof of God's saving power. As mothers, as daughters, as sisters, as grandmothers, as friends, we are an epistles carrying a message. What is the message being read in the letter of your life? My father's epistle became sweeter. The fragrance did not lose its essence in suffering. It rather gained more fragrance. At the funeral service, the oft-repeated comment was, "His life could not be ignored." He was a letter that had an officiality about it. Everybody knew he was on the king's business. Most saw that letter and wanted to read more. It was a joy to open the letter of his life because there was no hidden agenda. there was nothing covered up. There was no section or hint of intrigue. He was an epistle without guile and without malice. His love and zeal for Christ was so evident that whoever came across him could not argue against the reality of his life. His letter was not written with an illegible hand where the message was not clear. His faith was seen on every page despite the discouragement, and his message did not waver. Many lives were changed because of the letter of his life, but there were those who could not discredit his life but still chose to continue in sin. And so if we are faithful to God and faithful in all that is written in the letter of our lives, it does not necessarily guarantee that everybody around us will seek God, but their blood will not be on our hands. And God is going to point to us and say, why did you fail in front of others? Why was that wrong in your life? There were things on the letter of your life that should never have been there. And because of it, others have stumbled. What was the secret that made my father's letter so fragrant? Battered by the storms of life, but clear and legible, a living epistle read by all around him, carrying its message, making every grandson say, I want to be like him one day. What was it that made it so beautiful? A letter read and never to be forgotten. Open and read. Am I so seen as coming from the King? Does all that people see and read with a true essence ring? Am I a letter bold and true that cannot be ignored, with God's word infiltrated, within it loved and stored? Am I a letter tender, not one quick to react, but filled with great compassion and gentle, tender tact? Though I'm a letter battered through passing through each gale that God allowed to reach it, my message does not fail. God, let me be a letter filled with integrity that other lives are shaken because it reflects thee. Now, for any letter to reach its destination, it must have a clear address written on it. Without a clear address, no letter will reach its destination. There has to be a moment when the letter is either stamped on or written on. Now, there's a place called the Dead Letter Office. It's in every country, and it's a facility in the postal system where undeliverable mail is dealt with. They considered undeliverable because the address is invalid or missing, or there is no return address. Why do some very important letters never reach their destination? Why have they lain in the dead letter office for years before they are destroyed? There was no address, there was no clear address, or there was the wrong address on the letter. But oh, a far greater tragedy is if there is no clear address on the epistle of our lives. Sadly, many may think heaven is written across the epistle of our lives, but it's done with invisible ink. The address is unreadable and the statement is false. When we post it, instead of going to heaven, we will be going to hell. Thank God for the clear, legible address on my father's letter. There was no doubt by family, friends, and acquaintances that the great receiver of letters received him on the 26th of July this year. His letter was speeding on its way to God. But there has to be a moment for you and I when the address heaven is written on the letter of our lives. The address does not grow upon it. It does not magically appear. It has to be written, typed, stamped. And so too with us. We have to acknowledge we need God
to place the stamp there, the address. There must be a day when God writes it on our lives as we turn to Him in deep repentance and He claims the letter as His and He writes the address heaven for all to see. We become an emissary for the King of Kings. We no longer an ordinary letter, but an official letter with a living message, a life and death message that may not fail. We're on a purpose. We're a letter with a mission. I was 7 years old when God wrote the address on my letter. My dad was 14. My mother was at university when the Lord wrote the letter. But you know, there was a time before that when she was a little teenage girl, and she was in a meeting with other very concerned Christian people, and the minister made the appeal. And so my mother was sitting there, and then the people said, "Why don't you give your life to the Lord Jesus?" And she had no sense that she was on her way to hell. She had no burden for sin, but they sort of almost pushed her out of her seat. And there she went forward with all the rest, and she mumbled a prayer and escaped the meeting. But do you think the address was written on her letter then? No. The address was unchanged. She was still a letter bound for hell because God had not written that address on her letter. And when the people asked her, "How are you doing spiritually now that you've given your life to the Lord?" she said, "All right." You know what I mean? But there was no reality. Is the address so clear that God knows it's written on and that others can see it? Has the address been stamped on? The reading very clear that I am bound for heaven to all it doth appear? Or have I been mistaken by claiming it is so when God and man disclaims it? 'Tis false, they say, and know. If the address not stamped on, I'm heading straight for hell. Though I may claim for heaven and glibly say, all well, let me examine, find out if the address is clear, that when the letter posted, it can land without fear. So any letter that claims to be heaven-bound has to have the address heaven on it. Now, in ordinary life, if there's a return address, they can send the letter back to the person who initially posted it. But not so for us. There is no return address. When posted, that letter is posted. Its destination cannot be changed. And therefore, you and I have to be so certain, without doubt, that the address is correct. How terrible. How terrible. When posted, no return. Thinking it would be heaven, instead, in hell. Now, a letter can't be posted unless it's paid for. The postage stamp covers the cost. Whether it's a postage stamp or a stamp over the counter or something got from the internet. And we couldn't pay for our letter to reach heaven. We couldn't pay for it. Nobody else can pay for it. No effort that we did could pay for it. 1 Peter 1:18 to 20. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The price to become a living epistle bound for heaven, seen and read of all men, was the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only His blood could pay the price for the address to be changed from hell to heaven. Do we realize the price paid for us to be a letter bound for heaven? But you know, the saddest thing is that despite the price paid, so many refuse their letters to be touched by God. The price has been paid ahead of time, but the course of their letters have not been changed. They are not willing to come in brokenness and acknowledge, "I have the wrong address on my letter. I need to seek God's blood to wipe out hell and to replace it with heaven." To think, though Christ had paid the price and suffered cruelly upon the cross, His very life poured out for you and me, So many still ignore the call for him to stamp, address the letter of their life, refuse their lost state to confess. And thus, though Christ had paid the price, they remain bound for hell. While willfully and arrogant they their life story tell, without excuse before God's throne, they'll stand and sadly say, too proud, too proud. Thus never change the address, damned today. How sad if that should be the case. But you know, there are letters that can be of no importance. They're just a waste of time. Have you ever got letters from the post and you flip through the letters and you think, oh no, all right, that's for the rubbish bin, that's for the rubbish bin. These are the ones that I have to read. And it's so, it is possible that we can just flit through life as letters of no importance, not realizing that it's a matter of life and death that our message gets through to other people. You know, you get a registered letter, an overnight letter in South Africa, a fast mail letter. All of those letters are official. And when you get a letter like that, you immediately take note of it. It is essential that every Christian realizes, as a living epistle, their letters, their lives are of vital importance. We are here with a purpose. We've got a mission in life, and we dare not dally. Our letter can bring influence. It can save lives by its testimony. It can rebuke the fallen. It can pick people up where they have stumbled. We do not belong to ourselves. We are speeding on the King's mission, and it must be accomplished before the letter gets posted. We don't know how much time we've got. We thought my father would linger for at least a year longer. But there was a week in hospital, a week at home, and the letter was posted. We are a letter, an envoy from the heavenly King, and therefore we have to be so careful what is written on the letter of our lives. We cannot be frivolous, but dedicated. And there is a moment in every one of our lives, there should be a moment, where we realize how important it is that we are on the King's mission. Romans 12 is one we all know, that verse. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. For living epistles to have meaning, to impact lives, it is essential that we are totally surrendered to God. On the King's mission must be stamped on our letter. We are on official business. Now, my dad was saved when he was 14, and he did not have much spiritual growth after that. He endeavored to live according to God's word, and his salvation kept him from many pitfalls that young men get into him. But there was a moment when he realized the seriousness of his mission upon earth. Shortly after his marriage, there were meetings in the home, and in those meetings, my dad dedicated his life to God. His pledge to God was, I am not my own anymore. I am thine. Use me in whatever manner thou dost choose. And suddenly there was an enormous change in his life, which was evident to everybody. His letter, the letter of his life, was seen as serious. It could not be ignored. He took every opportunity to witness with humor and candor. He spoke as man to man, and he would never let the opportunity slip by to make certain if somebody was on his way to heaven or on his way to hell. He held meetings with farm workers. He spoke in churches, conventions across South Africa and Namibia. Every opportunity was taken for the letter to be read. And it was so clearly stamped to everybody. This letter is a King's letter. It has the King's seal upon it. Hundreds and hundreds of people's lives were touched. And I believe when he crossed the threshold into heaven, there were those there already ahead of him who had come to know the Savior through the letter that was read by them. Souls were not mere men and women, but letters bound for heaven or hell around him. Do we realize as we look at a person, he's not just a nice friend or a nice contact, but it's somebody that is bound for heaven or for hell. He became a letter who earnestly entreated, warned, and pled with people. I'm going to venture to say, if there is not a point in your life where you have totally, without reserve, given yourself into God's hand as a Christian, you will not fulfill the mission of your life as God would have it. We have to totally commit ourselves to the King's cause to fulfill our calling as living letters, and not become a letter that is quickly glanced at and discarded in the minds of men and women. Can we say that we've fully given over to God? Have we realized the importance of total commitment to God, to be single-minded? Our purpose is unmistaken. It bears the impress of the heavenly King. If so, we have to be solely and firstly and foremostly on the King's business. Dear Lord, in thy hands only this letter, which is me. No longer my own choices, but those that come from thee. With my father's life when he reached heaven, there was no regrets of opportunities that were neglected. Chances were not thrown away. He was so fully in God's hands and on his purpose bound that I'm sure when he reached the other side, there was a well done, good and faithful servant. What about your letter? Is it filled with decorative stamps of the world, and it's a very colorful letter to look at? But people do not recognize that in reality you are an emissary for the King. Are the contents of your letter blurred and not clear to see? I had a school friend, and she ended up living in Zambia, and I corresponded with her and her husband. But she said, you know, my handwriting is rather a big scrawl, and I think people sometimes find it difficult to read. And I was rather humbled by her saying that they used to use a magnifying glass to try and guess what I had written in my letters. Now, it's sad if under the magnifying glass of the world, they're not sure at the end of reading our letter what the actual purport of our letter is and why we are here. Will I before the Lord in shame bow my head and admit so many chances thrown away, not heeded, not a whit? Though people that I knew down here were hardened, full of sin, I did not try to reach them or try their souls to win. My very life, a stumbling block, a letter blurred and smudged. Therefore, to be a Christian, by them so scorned and judged. My words not always patient, my life not praising thee. I often lay before them what they should never see. Oh, woe is me. Repentant, I cry, while there is time, let me be what thou wouldst have from now, Lord, fully thine. Now, many letters go through storms in life, and many letters fall under enemy fire. We see in the letters the evidence of weathering upon the way. Now, I have shared before that when my mother was 3 years old, the river took their house and everything, and they had to flee in the mountain and sit in the mountain and look as they saw the whole house being swept away, wall by wall, and all the furniture was swept away. And among those things that were swept away were letters and papers. And these letters and papers, some of them were retrieved. But when they were retrieved, I've got some of them in my house, they were covered with the brown, muddy stains of the silt and river. But despite the stains upon those letters, you can still work out what has been said on the letters. Now, Paul said in Galatians 6:17, "For I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus, the marks of suffering." That which he went through was seen and suffered was seen as marks. And as living letters, we may show the storms we have gone through, the enemy fire we have been through. But if our faith holds out despite the storms and the writing is still clear for the people to see, we will be powerful epistles in the hand of the heavenly King. Because, you know, the unsaved also go through storms. They are also battered under enemy fire. But if our writing is still legible, God can use it. My father passed through many storms. There were times when the floodwaters went over the lands to such an extent that we stood above, on top of the trees, that take 7 years before they bear, if you started over again. The one time, as a little girl, I remember standing next to my father and the hail came down the size of eggs. And I just watched as all the crops that he had planted and hoped for and worked so hard for just became dams of water. There was no crops anymore. In financial loss, does the letter hold true? Even though it sometimes feels as if God has forsaken you on the financial front. My father knew it wasn't lack of work, it wasn't lack of enterprise, it was hail from heaven, it was water from an untamed river. It wasn't human calculation. It seemed to others as if God didn't care about all the hard work that was now in vain. But my dad's faith did not fail. And that was a powerful testimony to all. The river rose and spilt o'er the boundaries that men set, an untamed monster raging, devouring without let. My father stood and watched it, helpless to stay the tide of devastation, heartache poured forth on every side. The people saw my father lift up his head and say, "Dear father, this is tragic, but still, God have thy way." The living letter clearly had shown the message sent. Through those storms should rage, I'll remain a letter heaven sent. And you, when storms do batter, when loss doth cripple you, do you curse God and blame him, his very name as true? Or do you, like my father, gain credence every day, that when the storms had battered, you stayed true to God's way? A letter sadly trampled, attacked by storm and gale, but still it kept its message intact. It did not fail. There were verbal attacks, there were underminings, there were false accusations, there were hurts and misunderstandings, and all those things can be flung at the living letter to discredit its message, to undermine the importance of the letter. But despite this, the letter must stand true. Now, it's possible to want to add postscripts to your letter where you defend and rail against those, defend yourself and rail against those who have hurt you. But then think of what the Lord Jesus was said of the Lord Jesus. Isaiah 53, verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. We can learn from the Savior what to do with those who oppress us. Now, we didn't do that when we were children. I don't think you people were as naughty as we were when we were children, but we used to gather around the supper table. My father used to read the Bible, and then from the smallest age, we were allowed to pray. But I'm afraid we used prayer as an opportunity to tell my parents all that our brother and sisters had done wrong. So we used to pray the whole list for everybody. I used to have about 30 names and go through the whole name. And then eventually after that, I'd say, "Now, dear Lord, I just want to tell you what my brother did today. He was very angry. He kicked me." And then, of course, my brother would retaliate and say, "Well, Lord, I just want to tell you what Jennifer did today." And then he would do that. And so the prayer was just, it had so many postscripts to it that were really not God glorifying. But how sad if our letters are full of PSs, scribbled all over of the wrongs that others had done to us. Our letter, the letter of our life, becomes a bitter letter. I'm so glad that the living letter of my father's life didn't have any of these PSs. Despite what had been done to him, he remained sweet and he didn't harbor grudges. Others grudged the wrong treatment dealt out to him many times, but all he said was, well, I don't understand why they did it. It was a powerful testimony to many. Matthew 5:44, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. When people treat us badly, they aim to hurt and maim. Do we hit back and broadcast their very acts proclaim? Or do we, like our master, in silence let them be, commit them to God's dealing, and treat them lovingly? The letter that is still sweet, despite the lashing tongue that rails against its contents, has God's approval won. Be constant through the conflict. The message must get through. Don't faint at opposition. Your God depends on you. Then what was such a testimony about the letter of my father's life was his love for the Word of God. It was sprinkled through all the pages. He didn't read the Bible as a mere book, but he devoured the Bible. He absolutely devoured it. He loved it. He couldn't talk enough about it. It popped out. It was his greatest delight. Every opportunity given, he would share something about the Bible right up to about a day before he died. The facts he discovered, the truths he delved into, the comparisons. His love for the Bible was infectious. The living epistle of his life was beautified by it. Dear Lord, my letter does not show thy word both bold and clear, for I neglect it day by day, the time for it too dear. And thus I am discredited. The very words I say are laughed at, for my words don't match my actions every day. Thy word would keep my letter true to all that it does say, so that I do not have to cross words out sadly each day. Now, have you ever sent a letter and just as you posted the letter, you said, Lord, please, wilt thou bless the words that are written on it? My dad, as a living letter, was drenched in prayer. The letter of his life pervaded the whole letter. He prayed in season and out of it. In the middle of the night, as Roy said at the previous convention, you heard on the wooden floor the stomping of his feet as he walked down to the prayer room and on his knees cried out to God for souls, for loved ones, and for more opportunities to share. How beautiful was the living letter that is drenched by God's word and prayer. His word reflected on every page with a sweet perfume of prayer. God was made real to others because the word made him holy. And the sweet fragrance of prayer made all that he said precious and vital. Is this the problem in your life, in your epistle? Your life is not steeped in prayer. It is not saturated by God's word. But that can be remedied. Ask God for forgiveness. Stop fritting away the time on unimportant business and realize, I am a letter from the King. I am on His business. I am fulfilling His calling. Dear Lord, a very skimpy prayer is what I breathe each day. Those souls around me dying, hell-bound upon their way. Loved ones who need my burden in words of ardent prayer, by me not even mentioned, though they full of despair. No prayer to wield thy great hand, to lift them up, revive. No wonder they continue to sink and not survive. Will I stand and be humbled before thy throne one day? I had not cried and sought thee often upon life's way. Let my life hence be perfumed by the sweet scent of prayer, that other lives are influenced because they know I care.
But you know, I want to add that though every one of us is a letter, whether we acknowledge it or not, we have to realize that those around us are also letters that are in the process of being written. How do we influence those letters being written around us? Our children, our family, our friends. Sometimes we use words that mar the letter, disappoint them to such an extent that there's discouragement in their letters and disillusionment. Now, Kate Douglas Wiggin wrote a book called Patsy, which really reflects on her experiences as a teacher many, many, many years ago. And on page 26, she wrote these words, which have challenged me. Some children are like little human scroll books written all over with the sins and mistakes of their ancestors. Little human scroll books. What are we writing on the little human scroll books that are scattered around us? Let us end off by quickly examining the letter of our lives. First of all, let us ask ourselves, is the address clearly on our letter? Is it genuine? Or will we end up in the dead letter office of hell? What is our answer before God? Secondly, is our letter marked important on the King's business only? I am dedicated to the service of the King. I am fully surrendered to the King's purposes. I am not an idle letter fritting in the breeze. My letter has got an official stamp on it. Are there lives that my letter have touched? So much so that when I get to heaven, they will be there waiting for me. And then is my letter clear to be read? Or is it so smudged and become so indistinct that people, even if they use a magnifying glass upon my life, do not recognize and see what God would have upon it? And then, my letter has been battered by storms, but have I omitted the postscripts that of bitterness and rather put in a postscript of love and forgiveness? And is the letter, fifthly, covered over with the words of the one I love, the Lord Jesus Christ, His word, and perfumed with the sweet fragrance of prayer? And lastly, am I careful on the letters around me, that there are not things scrawled upon them that will mar their letter and perhaps send it into the wrong direction? A living letter, God says, you will be read each day by loved ones and those near you who meet you on life's way. Is the address for heaven? Has God written it clear that all may understand it? Or is there doubt and fear? You state it is for heaven, but really bound for hell. Oh, make sure 4 times ticking. When posted, who can tell? Is your letter marked urgent? I am sent from the King. His message is my purpose that I to all must bring. Have you been faithful always to stop and to be read so that men cannot say that they missed what you have said? God's word, have you included it on each living page, or has it been neglected, not read for such an age? And prayer, is that the perfume that beautifies each word so that people who read it are spoken to and stirred? Though storms have come to stop it, powerless your course to stay. There are no bitter postscripts to mar it on its way. A letter. Oh, God, make us a letter that will bring our loved ones and those near us right to
our heavenly King. Amen.